What is up, Vermont Edition podcast listener? This is Elodie Reed, digital producer for VPR. Just to let you know, this podcast has been edited for brevity and clarity. Enjoy.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. There are new concerns in this country and around the world of the emergence of the so-called Delta variant of the COVID-19 virus. Parts of Australia are back in lockdown mode. There are a significant number of cases in Great Britain, and India and Malaysia are enforcing strict stay-at-home orders. The Delta variant also accounts for a growing number of cases in states with a high rate of unvaccinated people. Mike Pichek is the commissioner of the Department of Financial Regulation and the person who tracks COVID trends for the Scott administration. He says the current COVID vaccines have proven to be quite effective against this Delta variant.
The UK has seen a rise of the Delta variant in those who are unvaccinated. A couple of states now in the United States are similarly seeing this trend. And for those who are thinking about getting vaccinated, who are on the fence, it's certainly something that should motivate you to go out and get vaccinated, that fewer than 100,000 Vermonters who are eligible but have not yet started their process. When you're fully vaccinated, you can be assured that the Delta variant will not be a threat to you.
Well, how likely is it that we will experience a surge in cases in Vermont in the fall and winter when people go back inside for many activities? And does it matter which type of vaccine you received if you are fully vaccinated in terms of dealing with the Delta variant? Those are some of the many questions we have for today for Deputy Health Commissioner Tracy Dolan. Tracy, welcome back to Vermont Edition. It is always great to have you here.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thanks so much.
You know, Tracy, just when I thought when the Scott administration announced that the restrictions were being lifted, that we'd hit the vaccination rates and we were kind of thinking questions about the COVID vaccine might be subsiding somewhat, it seems like every day there are more questions. So it's really valuable for us to have you here. Tracy, as we've learned, this Delta variant is surging across Asia and many Pacific countries. It's in India. It's in Europe. Now it's being found in sizable numbers in parts of the United States. How concerned are you about this situation?
Well, of course, with a new variant that is more transmissible and has more severe health outcomes, we are concerned. But again, in Vermont, our concern is somewhat modified by the fact that we have a very high vaccination rate at 82.1%. So certainly vaccinated Vermonters should have very relatively little concern about this variant. It doesn't mean you couldn't contract this variant. It is relatively low risk, A, to get it, and B, what we know about our vaccines is that they are effective against Delta variant, particularly for severe illness or death. And so were you to get this new variant, even if you were vaccinated, again, low risk of that, but were you to get that, it would be likely a much more mild illness. So that's where we are, certainly concerned, and particularly for those 18% of Vermonters who are still not vaccinated, you know, there is a heightened concern there, but overall less concern than probably a lot of other places in the United States. But globally, of course, we're looking at a different scenario, and that's very hard to see.
We heard from Mike Pichek yesterday about the possible link, or the likely link, I should say, between states that have low vaccination rates and the emergence of the Delta variant in their communities. Is it pretty clear to you there's a link there?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, there isn't, it isn't particularly mysterious how this particular virus transmits. We know it goes from person to person, and we know that if you're not vaccinated, you are more likely to become infected. And so the more transmission paths available, the more likely it is to spread. Excuse me. And so so you can see then in states where there are lower vaccination rates, it's spreading primarily among the unvaccinated population, which really puts everyone at increased risk. Again, We are fortunate in Vermont, not just fortunate, people have made some really great decisions to have a more vaccinated population. And we certainly continue to encourage the remaining Vermonters who can get vaccinated to get vaccinated, particularly with things like this on the horizon.
Tracy, let's go to this idea that the effective rate of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine might not be as good as Pfizer and Moderna. We've heard this a lot in the last week or two through the national media. We got this email from Scott in Montpelier. I got the Johnson & Johnson vaccine as soon as I was able to get vaccinated, and I was told by just about every healthcare official that the vaccines were all safe and effective and not to try to compare them. I'm now hearing that the Moderna and Pfizer vaccines are likely not to need a booster for some time, maybe good for life. What about Johnson & Johnson? And there are also concerns and people talking about, I heard Anthony Fauci this morning on the news, Tracy, talk about folks who have had the Johnson & Johnson vaccine might want to think about getting the Moderna or the Pfizer vaccine. What do you make about all this?
You know, part of this is really the idea that we are in a pandemic with a novel virus. And so the learning continues. We certainly still continue to say, and we're very clear that these vaccines are safe and effective. There is no doubt there. We have strong data, and certainly CDC is monitoring the data all the time. I think there's a question of some slight differences in effectiveness. I think early on, we knew that the numbers of in terms of effectiveness were incredibly high for Moderna and Pfizer and a little bit lower for Johnson & Johnson, but still effective. They were all equally effective in terms of preventing severe illness and death. And again, that really is that final outcome that we're looking at initially. So when we're initially looking at vaccine rollout in a situation like this, that is the first thing we're trying to stop. There may be some differences over time, and that's how we learn. And so right now, in terms of boosters, we're not hearing much about boosters in any of the camps. We are hearing, and I think Dr. Levine mentioned yesterday, that certainly with the mRNA vaccines, it appears that there is really no decision on boosters yet. It looks like they will be effective for a long time. I don't think we have the data on the Johnson & Johnson, so it would be premature to say whether or not we will need a booster on Johnson & Johnson. But if you are concerned, if you've had Johnson & Johnson, Johnson & Johnson is effective. If we learn that it is more valuable to get an additional vaccine in the future, we will certainly look at that and let the folks know in Vermont. But right now, we have a very low case rate in Vermont, and we have plenty of Vermonters who were vaccinated with Johnson & Johnson as well. But in terms of our case rate in Vermont compared to the nation, we are at, let me see if I can get our numbers here. Our case rate is less than 3.9 cases per 100,000. That's in the past week. That's our seven-day case rate. Nationally, it's 24.7 cases per 100,000, so eight times higher nationally. So again, there are some slight differences for sure in the vaccines. They are safe and effective, and we will let you know if there's any change in the recommendation depending on the vaccine that you got.
So just to be clear, for someone who is listening who had the Johnson & Johnson vaccine and now is hearing people talk about, well, maybe you ought to get the Pfizer or the Moderna shot on top of that, your advice would be wait?
Our advice would be, unless you hear that from your physician or from the health department as a recommendation, we're not recommending any change.
Let's go to our callers and talk to Shauna, who's calling from Essex Junction. Hi, Shauna. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thanks for having me on.
What's your question today?
My question is about vulnerability and exposures for children under 12 who are not vaccinated with the or in regards to the Delta variant, and what we should be thinking about both for travel out of state or, you know, activities that children can do in Vermont, as well as thinking about looking forward to the fall and, you know, if that means going back to school, masking, or what we're looking at, because, you know, I don't know when my 9-year-old is going to get vaccinated, and so she's our most vulnerable person.
Thanks. That's a great question. Do you mind if I jump in, Bob?
Oh, absolutely not. I appreciate it.
Great. So first of all, just to level set on what we know about vaccine for those 11 and under, we had initially thought that the fall might be the time that the vaccine is made available. We're hearing now that they may hold off until they have full FDA approval rather than going through emergency use authorization, which would probably push it out closer to December, January. Again, that's an estimate that could change. So we are hearing perhaps a December, January. So absolutely understandable that parents who were thinking, you know what, I've just got to hold on a couple of months and then I'll get my kids vaccinated in the fall. Absolutely understandable that they're concerned now, especially as they hear about this more transmissible and more serious variant, the Delta variant. The good news is in Vermont, because we have such high vaccination rates, it's unlikely that we think the Delta variant will take hold. That doesn't mean it won't be here. We've had a few cases where we have determined that it is the Delta variant. However, again, our case numbers are low, and so the Delta variant numbers are also low. In terms of how best to protect your kids, the number one thing you can do is for anyone in your home who is able to be vaccinated, to be vaccinated. That cocooning thing, which is something that we do also with new babies sometimes, right? If a baby can't be vaccinated right away for a particular illness, we make sure that everyone around them is healthy. In this case, making sure everyone around your kids is vaccinated is important. When they're out and about, particularly outside, we're not concerned about masking. And in general, the Department of Health, because our cases are so low, aren't recommending masking for children. However, in the case of school camps, summer camps indoors, if your unvaccinated child is in a summer camp indoor environment, the assumption there is that it's more crowded and they might be around a lot of other kids who are unvaccinated. That is a time when we would recommend masking. So those are our masking recommendations. But again, parents can go above and beyond that. When we say we don't recommend masking, that doesn't mean we discourage it. Really, for anyone who feels more comfortable with a mask on, it's not going to harm you. And so if you feel more comfortable when you go out, particularly if you go into a store and your unvaccinated kids are with you, if you feel more comfortable having a mask on them, you should go ahead and do that. We're certainly not discouraging it. But in terms of our recommendations, where we see the risk being highest is probably kids who are unvaccinated around other unvaccinated people in a more crowded indoor environment like a summer camp.
Shauna, thanks very much for your phone call. A lot of people have a very similar question about vaccinating children. And as Tracy Dolan just mentioned, it's going to probably be a little bit longer than folks thought for those vaccinations to be available. And Tracy, I just want to sort of underscore something you just said. Different people have different feelings about what makes them comfortable in wearing a mask or not wearing a mask. And is your general advice, do what makes you feel best?
Absolutely. Do what makes you feel best, erring on the side of safety. So if you're unvaccinated and you're spending a lot of time in a crowded indoor environment, it might make sense for you to wear a mask. But even if you're vaccinated, if you feel more comfortable having a mask on in a crowded indoor environment, go for it. Really, again, we don't have any state requirements outside of long-term care facilities, which are still a place where we want to be really careful, and then some healthcare facilities. But in terms of our recommendations, yeah, do what feels comfortable. And if you're unvaccinated, of course, our number one recommendation, if at all possible, is to get vaccinated. We would love to give you that extra assurance, especially with a new variant on the rise.
Tracy, I have to imagine that there are a fair number of people who were somewhat confused to see the headline this week. World Health Organization officials urge vaccinated people to keep wearing masks. And that statement came after concerns about the spread of the Delta variant. And it was something that was also adopted and recommended by health officials in Los Angeles County. But the Centers for Disease Control says vaccinated people should have no restrictions, no masks indoors or outdoors, no social distancing. So what are folks to make about this conflicting information?
Well, it is tough, you know, all through this pandemic, in part because it's new, in part because we're all learning, and there's just so much research and effort going into understanding it. And because there's so much more transparency now, you know, every time there is a recommendation from any body, it goes out right away. There are going to be differences. And so the World Health Organization, I believe that one of the things they're looking at in terms of context is really looking at that global picture, and they are seeing this variant move very quickly through some countries with very low vaccination rates. And so if you were in a place with a very low vaccination rate and you had this variant ripping through, that community immunity is so powerful. When you don't have high enough vaccination rates, the vaccine isn't as effective on an individual level. And so the more exposure you get as a vaccinated person, the more likely it is that you could become infected. And so for places with lower vaccination rates, it might make sense from the World Health Organization's perspective to go so far as to say, even if you're vaccinated, wear a mask. In the United States, we do have an overall higher vaccination rate, so it's unlikely we're going to shift to that stance. Again, you know, I can't predict. And certainly in Vermont, with really a very high vaccination rate, although still hoping for that last 18%, but with a very high vaccination rate, we're in a really different situation. So I know people are hearing that. Again, it's not a recommendation or a requirement in Vermont or in the United States for fully vaccinated people. Now, in some states, they may shift. It's possible that there are areas of Los Angeles County that have significantly unvaccinated population groups, in which case it might make sense for them to go back to a masking requirement. But that community immunity, remember, vaccination works best not at an individual level, but at a community level. And because we are at that level, we do have a level of protection that unfortunately some other parts of the United States and the world doesn't enjoy. And the more people we get vaccinated, the stronger that overall community protection will be.
So the advice for folks listening would be, if you're fully vaccinated, it's fine not to wear a mask if you feel comfortable that way, either indoors or outdoors, while you're in Vermont.
That's correct. Now, if you're traveling to another part of the country, A, they may have different mask requirements. B, you may do your homework in advance and see what those vaccination rates are and decide that, particularly indoors. I mean, if I were traveling to some parts of the United States right now, if I were in a crowded environment, if I were indoors, I would likely wear a mask even with being vaccinated, depending on the vaccination rates, particularly knowing that there's a new variant out there. I don't feel that way here in Vermont.
Let's go back to our callers and talk to Terry, who's calling from Moncton. Hi, Terry. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
What's on your mind today?
My question is, I'm traveling to Ohio to see family, and I am fully vaccinated. Half the family in one household is fully vaccinated. The other family is not. I know the rates are lower there. The other family has either had COVID or tested positive for the antibodies. And I'm just wondering about the safety of staying with that family or if I should stay somewhere else and just visit, you know, outside and with masks.
Well, that's a great question and a tough question. The fact that you're fully vaccinated is a lot of protection. And so you should really keep that in mind. That is a real reassurance and a safety for you. I think you have to think about what you know about the behavior of the folks that you're visiting with. Are they higher risk in terms of this type of thing? An antibody test probably isn't your best way to assess that, but certainly people who have been vaccinated would be very safe to be around. And again, your vaccination status really gives you that protection. So I think, unfortunately, I would have to hand it back to you. If they're in a county with low vaccination rates, that's something to keep in mind as well. It's always safer outside, but if you're indoors, I'm going to have to leave that up to your call. But if it was a low vaccination rate area and they've got a high case rate and you're around people who are unvaccinated, you might want to choose to mask up. It would be certainly added protection because you're already vaccinated. But again, here in Vermont, we've got that extra bubble because we've got such high rates. I'm not sure what the rates are in the area of Ohio that you're visiting.
Let's talk to Christina, who is calling from Island Pond. Hi, Christina. Welcome to the program.
Hello. Hello. Thank you very much for taking my phone call. I've been fully vaccinated. I took Moderna vaccine. My second vaccine I received on April 27th. To make it short, since I received my vaccine, my whole body aches. I've never been sick in my entire life. I mean, the serious illness. I do have some notes because I had some other issues earlier. And I noticed that after first vaccine, I had random aches elbow, bicep, knees, but they were not really bad. So I kind of didn't pay attention to that. After the second vaccine, however, that pain was unbearable. And it's, as we speak, I am still in pain. My whole body aches horribly. I did went to our doctor, made 3 times blood test, all seems fine. Is that possible that this is a side effect of the Moderna, that the body aches?
Christina, we're very sorry to hear about the body aches and feeling really lousy. That's very unfortunate. Tracy, is there a possibility here, as Christina said, this seemed to happen after her second vaccine, that it could be a reaction to it?
Yeah, well, first of all, let me echo what you said. Really sorry that you're in pain, Christine. And I do want to thank you for getting vaccinated. It's an important step. It's really hard to say. Most vaccine reactions happen fairly soon after the vaccine and are temporary, the vast, vast majority of them. You did the right thing in going to your doctor. Sometimes, because we have so many people vaccinated, 80% of the population is vaccinated. So after you get vaccinated, it also might be that it happens to be at the same time you have another symptom for another reason. Now, if we had very few people vaccinated and we had a lot of people coming forward with that, we might say it's a connection. Because we have such a large number of people vaccinated, it's likely that a lot of people who would normally develop an illness or become, develop some kind of pain or chronic condition could simply be developing it at around the same time. It's really hard to say. And so I think working with your doctor is the best way to go. I'm not sure we'll get a definitive answer on that. Working with your doctor, and if you're not satisfied, go back again. Sounds like the blood test didn't bring anything up. But again, very hard to say. Now, if your doctor gets a sense that this occurred or was associated with the vaccine, your doctor will go ahead and probably enter that in the adverse event report of the CDC, and that gives the CDC more information. But if you're asking generally if 3 months later overall body pain is associated with Moderna, generally that's not a reaction that we're seeing. It doesn't mean it couldn't happen, but generally that is not a report that's coming out around a Moderna side effect.
Christina, just to be clear, your primary care doctor felt that the what you're feeling and feeling lousy was not necessarily linked to the second vaccine?
No. It's really, he just didn't know. And I was, after I was reading my notes, and I noticed that pain, I was making much more notes after the vaccine. I said, is that possible? I said, well, everything is possible. So I was just wondering if you get any more phone calls. And I just, no, this is something new. So maybe people are calling, and maybe not by the thousands, but I'm just hopeless. I'm looking for an answer.
Yeah, and I'm sorry that we can't give you a more definitive one. That's a tough one. From what we know, it doesn't appear to be a common side effect. But again, I think regardless of the cause here, working with your primary care doctor to get some relief will be helpful. And certainly if your doctor sees any kind of connection, your doctor would certainly enter it into the adverse event reporting system. And I wish you luck. Thank you.
Christina, thanks for calling, and we're hoping that future consultations with your doctor will bring you some relief. One thing I wanted to ask you about, Tracy, is there's been a very interesting development in the last few weeks concerning the growing number of professional athletes who are fully vaccinated who are still testing positive for COVID. And to make it even more complicated, most of these athletes have also been asymptomatic. They have no symptoms, and their diagnosis was only discovered because they're subject to so many tests. There was NBA star Chris Paul of the Phoenix Suns. You had a professional golfer, John Rahm, who was leading a major tournament after 3 rounds and was told after the 3rd round, oh, by the way, yesterday you tested positive for COVID, so you're now disqualified. You had 9 members of the New York Yankees. You had a Ugandan Olympic coach and with the same symptoms. The common thread was they all had the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. These are all asymptomatic people. Is this a concern?
I mean, any kind of infection, any kind of COVID-19 positive result is a concern to start. I would say that. No, I felt personally affected by Chris Paul's because I was rooting for his team and they suffered a little without him. And again, I would just remind you, though, just for context, it's probably helpful to know that while it seems like a lot, so many athletes are getting tested on a regular basis that your N, your larger population of people getting tested, is pretty large. I wasn't aware that the common thread was that they were all Johnson & Johnson. Certainly in Vermont, we haven't seen that all the breakthrough cases are Johnson & Johnson. I don't have the breakdown, but most people in Vermont who have been vaccinated haven't been vaccinated by Johnson & Johnson. And so our breakthrough cases here, while small, do come from people who have been, you know, who have had a variety of vaccines. So I can't speak specifically to the Johnson & Johnson, but we do know, of course, that vaccines aren't 100%. So we are going to have people who become infected. And it's not surprising that they're asymptomatic, because one of the things that the vaccine does for you is if you do become infected, you're likely to have a much more mild illness. So that's the good news there, that we know the vaccine is working in terms of its most significant effect, which is avoiding serious illness or death. Of course, you know, the downside is it just shows us that while vaccines are effective, they're not 100% effective.
You mentioned breakthrough cases, and just so listeners understand, we're talking breakthrough cases are cases where you have fully vaccinated people who still test positive for COVID. Yesterday at the press briefing, Commissioner Mark Levine said that Vermont's breakthrough rate is about 6 people out of every 10,000. So you can see how small it is. If my math is correct, that's about 0.06%.
That's right.
Is it possible that we're really underestimating this breakthrough rate because so many people are asymptomatic and so they're not being tested anyway?
That's possible for sure. I mean, we are at, even with our positivity rate, though, I mean, we are at a 0.5% positivity rate. So we're still testing thousands of people a week. There were 239 cases, breakthrough cases, since January 1st. That's about 1% of all of our cases. And like Dr. Levine said, 0.06%, so 0.06% of the fully vaccinated population. Again, if we were testing everyone on a regular basis, that number might be a little bit higher. The fact that they're asymptomatic tells us that the vaccine is working. It also probably tells us that in the cases where people are becoming infected, their viral load is probably very low. And so the chances of them passing it on to someone else is also probably likely very low. But, you know, shouldn't be surprising to us. But of course, you know, we have been very much encouraging people to get vaccinated and talking about the protection. But obviously, it's not 100%. And so we are going to have some breakthrough cases. The good news is, in the vast majority of cases, these are very mild illnesses.
Lots of callers have lots of questions, so let's start off with Richard in West Fairley. Hi, Richard. Welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Bob. Thank you for taking my call. I had a quick question for the commissioner about this new epidemic they just announced in India, the micromycosis, black fungus, and COVID. I was wondering if she had any information about this. Is this something that might affect us here in the United States?
You know, I'm sorry, I actually don't know much about it. I'd have to go back and look it up and maybe talk to our epidemiology team. I'm not so familiar with the new epidemic and the condition that you just referenced.
Richard, we'll see if we can get some information for you and have that on perhaps as early as next week as these different developments do pop up. It's probably very hard to keep track of them all. But Richard, thanks very much for your phone call. Let's talk to Margaret, who is calling from Hardwick. Hi, Margaret. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. My question is really basically the same as the previous caller. But I think it's pretty disturbing because the effects on people seem to be those people who have had the virus and recovered. And probably because of their treatment, they haven't figured out the cause of it, but they're calling this effect an epidemic in, that's an alarming term, in India. And it's a fungal disease that they have no remedy for. They're having to remove parts of people's bodies in order to take it out. And it's, in my mind, it's a good motivation here in this country to go and get vaccinated, so you don't get that. They're thinking that possibly it's the result of the treatment, which is using massive doses of antibiotics and also hormones, I believe, and we may not have that same kind of treatment here. But the questions are still out there, and there. I wondered if the CDC is addressing any of that.
Thank you. I had a colleague just quickly send me, when she heard the question come up, a little summary of what's going on. And it does appear to be something that's happening in India, and like you said, could be associated with treatment, with steroid treatment there. It's not something that we're hearing about here. The fungus particularly is found in soil. And some other elements, and so there could be a connection uniquely in India, but not sure of much more than that. So I'm afraid I'm not able to give you a lot more information. It sounds like a tragic situation. Again, everything happening, particularly with this new variant moving through a lot of countries, it's very difficult. And we're very fortunate here in the United States that we had so much vaccine available to us so early. And again, thankful to so many Vermonters who stepped up and made a great choice.
Margaret, thanks for your phone call, and hopefully Tracy will have you on again in the not-too-distant future and give you a chance to take a look at that, since it seems to be an issue on a lot of people's minds. Let's talk to Thomas, who is calling from Manchester. Hi, Thomas.
Hello.
Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Hi,
sure.
This is the question. Well, my wife has been in Great Britain. She's returning on Saturday after 27 days. She was fully vaccinated with Johnson & Johnson. She tested negative before leaving, tested negative on arrival in Britain, quarantined for a week, and since then she's been spending time with family and friends around England, you know, north and south. How concerned should we be on her arrival, since there's been a big spread in England with the Delta variant, even though everyone she's been in contact with, as far as we know, was vaccinated with AstraZeneca? Should we take precautions here?
I don't think there's a need to take additional precautions. It sounds like she's vaccinated. The people she was around were vaccinated. She could certainly watch her own symptoms, and if she had symptoms, she could get a test. She could go get a test for her own peace of mind. You know, the results often come back within 48 hours, and there are plenty of places to get a test in Vermont. Just go to our website, healthvermont.gov. But on the face of it, it sounds like she's done all the right things. And again, she's coming back to a very safe environment and has been vaccinated. So if she'd like to get a test, go to the website. We can get her set up with a test. It's free. Get the results back quickly. But if she doesn't want to, she's also well protected.
Thomas, thanks for your phone call. Let's talk to Jennifer in Thetford. Hi, Jennifer. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have several family members who got the J&J vaccine, and I'm wondering if it's possible or recommended within the state to get one dose of one of the mRNA vaccines for a more robust immune response to the Delta variant. People are concerned, and there are members of the family that are too young to be vaccinated. Thanks a lot.
Great question. Thank you so much. I think it was Jennifer. No, definitely understand the concern. But again, all of the vaccines that we've given in Vermont are safe and effective. And at this time, we're not recommending any additional vaccines if you've either received the one dose Johnson & Johnson or the two dose of the Moderna or the Pfizer. If that changes and if new science emerges, we will review it and we will definitely let you know, and you will know that through press conferences, et cetera. But at this time, we're not recommending any changes to dosage or additional vaccine. And again, just a reminder that we are in a different environment in Vermont with very, very few cases circulating. Doesn't mean you can't get it, but we have very few cases circulating, so it does put us in a slightly different environment than it might be in another part of the world or even another part of the United States.
Tracy, could you explain to us, and for people like me in as simple terms as possible, the difference between the Moderna and the Pfizer vaccines approach and the one from Johnson & Johnson?
Yeah, I can, you know, I was a little more up on it about a month ago when I was explaining okay. it every day. But sure, but yeah, the two vaccines, the Moderna and the Pfizer, are really the ones that are working through the mRNA mechanism. And the Johnson & Johnson actually delivers the vaccine through an inactivated virus, not the coronavirus. And so the entry system is different, but they both do the same in that they activate your immune system. But the delivery methods are a little different.
You mentioned to Jennifer that if there is a change, the health department would certainly let folks know through the press briefings and press releases. Is this something that's being looked at right now?
Not that I'm aware of. Again, this is relatively new information, but certainly, you know, with Fauci coming out saying a few things, obviously that does perk our ears up. But we do look at both the immunization committee at the federal level and CDC for our guidance, and we speak to them on a regular basis. So if anything is underway, we will certainly be listening for that, and if we see something developing, we'll certainly tell Vermonters. But at this time, we've received no different guidance.
Let's talk to Al, who's calling from Whitehall. Hi, Al. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I appreciate this information from the deputy commissioner. And it seems to be a little bit more honest and forthcoming in regard to the possibility of you're acquiring this new Delta variant and leaving it up to yourself to determine whether to wear a mask or not. I've had the Moderna both shots, and I'm glad I did, but I still wear a mask. And I question so many people, including health professionals, that is saying that, well, especially in Vermont, we have developed herd immunity and we're going to be fine. If we had taken that attitude with polio, we would never have eradicated polio in the United States. And it was required that everybody get a polio vaccine. And unless everyone gets vaccinated to fight this current pandemic, and that's not only the United States, that's worldwide, there is no way to eliminate it, and we're not only going to have the potential of developing this current new virus in the United States, but other mutations that could be developing along the way. So I hope that people will take it into consideration that unless everyone is vaccinated, there is no possibility of eliminating this pandemic.
Al, let's see if we can get a response from Deputy Health Commissioner Tracy Dolan. Talk to us, Tracy, about herd immunity and some of the concerns that Al has.
I think Al's right in certainly connecting that the higher percentage of people you have vaccinated, the more likely you can eradicate or control an epidemic or a pandemic or the transmission of a disease. Unlikely that you'll reach 100% vaccination rate in any vaccine or to protect against any illness. So we don't necessarily need to reach 100% vaccination rate to eradicate. You know, you can actually eradicate on with a lesser percentage of vaccination. However, at this time, eradication isn't the goal right now. The short-term goal really is to get this under control and to significantly reduce hospitalization death. In Vermont, we have, for the most part, done that, but as a nation, we haven't done that. I think eradication is a great goal. We'll probably never reach 100% vaccination simply because, A, there are some people who can't be vaccinated because of certain medical conditions they may have, or they may be immune compromised, or they may have an allergy. And secondly, we always know that there are going to be a small portion of the population, smaller than we thought, actually, in Vermont, which is wonderful. But there is a small portion of the population for a variety of reasons who would just not be comfortable getting vaccinated. But he's certainly right that the higher we get, the more likely we get to a better outcome. And, you know, just to let you know, there are some people who aren't getting vaccinated right now, not necessarily because they're opposed to vaccination. They still might have some safety questions, and I understand that. You know, this is all, this disease is relatively new, and the idea of mass vaccination, we just haven't talked about it like this in this country in many, many years. So I can understand those questions. Certainly talk to your doctor. You know, go to the health department website, go to CDC. And then there are some people for whom it's still, they're just not quite there yet in scheduling it. You know, they just haven't quite gotten around to it. They might be the same people who don't always, you know, schedule their dental appointments on time, but they know they've got to get there eventually. And then there might be some people who might have fears of needles. You know, I'm actually one of those people. And so, you know, before I get a shot, unfortunately, I've passed this down to at least one of my children, I get pretty nervous. And so while I got my vaccine right away, you know, I had to kind of push through that discomfort. Now, it turns out this vaccination is quick and easy and relatively painless, but there are all kinds of reasons. And so just encouraging people to reflect and also to listen openly without judgment when others talk about it, because sometimes it's enough for someone to have just said it out loud a few times and heard some reassurance, and that might be enough for them to turn the corner.
Tracy, I share some of your needle thoughts, and in this case, when I got mine, I just looked the other way. I don't like to sort of the anticipation of the needle coming. I looked the other way, and it was so soft that it happened before I even knew it. And so I kind of looked back thinking, hey, it's time for the shot and the vaccine to be done, and it was already over. So I was very pleased by the way that that worked out. The person who gave it to me did an incredible job. Let's talk to Melissa in Bridgewater. Hi, Melissa. Welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
Doing great. What's your question today?
I have a question about unvaccinated children. I have a 10-year-old, and it seems like there's not much concern about getting children under 12 vaccinated at this point. Maybe that's because of the low community spread. But I'm wondering what's the outlook for timing as far as when children will be able to be vaccinated. That would give us a little bit of peace of mind. And also, what's the outlook for K-6 students returning to school in the fall and what that might look like?
Great question. Thank you so much, Melissa. So we are doing planning now for 11 and under with the anticipation that at some point, of course, that vaccine will be approved. We had thought it might come in the fall. It's more likely to be coming December, January. That could change, but that's what we're hearing. That's the early thinking. So we're doing preparation now. We expect that kids will be able to get vaccinated in pediatric offices, probably through school clinics, maybe through some community clinics. We don't have that all hammered out yet, but we're certainly going to make it as easy as possible. But it's not that we're not concerned. If we had a vaccine that was safe and reliable right now for 11-year-olds and under, of course we would move quickly on that. It's just that, you know, it takes time, and we certainly want to make sure all the safety studies are buttoned up before we move forward on that. It's true that we're not talking a lot about that age group, in part, again, because so many adults are vaccinated that in most cases, kids are existing within families that are fully vaccinated, which really offers them more protection. And so that's really part of the protection. And then the other big piece is we have a very low case rate. Our case rate is something like 3.4 cases per 100,000 people over the last 7 days. So even if your child is unvaccinated, it's unlikely that they're going to be, not impossible, but unlikely that they're going to be exposed. In the case that they are exposed, for the most part, kids' illness tends to be generally pretty mild. Again, it doesn't mean it's not a cause for concern. It is. Certainly for summer camps indoors, we're recommending that when kids are indoors around other unvaccinated kids, they mask up. But for the most part, we're seeing that outside and generally even inside, people probably don't need extra protection right now, even the kids, because we have low case rates. But you've got to do what's comfortable for you. If you feel more comfortable when your kids are out and about, particularly if they're in an indoor environment around unvaccinated or you're uncertain, feel free to ask them, you know, to wear a mask. That's really your call. But given the circumstance in Vermont right now, we've got kids on our mind. We, a lot of us are parents working in public health. So we are thinking about it all the time and just trying to do the right response for what the situation we have in Vermont right now.
Well, we've certainly seen a lot of new developments with the COVID virus. Deputy Health Commissioner Tracy Dolan, Many thanks, as always, for taking the time to be with us today and walking us through a lot of these issues.
Well, thank you. And a big part of our job is communicating with the public. So I appreciate the opportunity to do it every chance I get.